For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
In a roaring stadium, their silence is deafening. 136 Israelis are still being held hostage by Hamas. Bring them home.
Live from DNHQ in beautiful South Pasadena, California, this is the Blue Heaven Podcast. Hey, I'm just channeling my old school inner Eric Ulau, okay?
You got new headphones, so I can hear you very clearly now.
What's going on, Dodgers Nation? It's been a while. My name is Clint. You can find me as RealFRG on Twitter and Instagram.
That's true. I got to look up the lines because I don't remember my name.
Your name is Brooke. You're the drunk guy.
Guys, my name is Brooke. You can find me at BrookeMe3 on Twitter and Instagram on today's show. Well, first of all... We got Doug on the show.
Doug!
That's the most important part.
Doug. What's going on, Dodgers Nation?
Look at him with his Britney mic over there, ready to go.
They got me my own Britney mic for him. Whenever I roll here, I only have to bring mine from DNHQ, like 5, whatever it is. So I'm feeling real comfortable, feeling home sweet home with my Britney mic.
You're DNHQ Santa Monica.
Yeah. DNHQ Santa Monica. I keep the city on the low, but now that's out there.
Well, everybody knows.
Yeah, so the boys are back in town, we being the boys and we being the... Was it communist we?
In the communist sense, we are back in town.
The Dodgers are almost fully healthy, but the bats absolutely are not. We're going to talk about what the hell kind of lineup that was that Dave Roberts thought could win a ball game today, Thursday, day of our Lord, September 9th. It was a bit rough. The bats also a bit rough.
Everything's a little bit rough.
We are announcing the winner of the COVID Curveball book giveaway. If you guys haven't picked up Tim Neverett's new book, you can get it now. It's available in a whole bunch of stuff. We're going to talk about that in a minute. There's new Chancer game. You got to play it. Go download the Chancer app. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
Best. I'm the best.
I'm the best.
The best you ever had. I'm so good at that game.
We're going to preview the Padres series where, Brooke's favorite pitcher,
Christopher Paddock,
is finally pitching.
Oh, you coward.
And, I know you're excited about that one. It's the Throwback Thursday on a Thursday again and all that kind of stuff. It's a whole bunch more. Before we get into the show, we got to remind you this is a podcast. So if you want to subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, Radio, Google, something or other spots, Pandora. I think we're on Amazon now. Everywhere your podcasts are available to eat for free. We live there. Do subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/DodgersNationTV. Hit that subscribe button, that notification bell. And,
Glad you did.
That makes Doug happy, doesn't it, Doug?
Makes me ecstatic, man. Love having as many of you guys on the YouTube channel, helping us grow, pushing out that Dodgers content just for you guys. But, yeah, it's good times.
And one final note. Download our Dodgers Nation app. I've been saying for a while we're going to have a new version of it coming out, but I don't know when that's happening. We saw Gary earlier, but there's a whole bunch of other things going on. Download the app. I think I have a button for that. Boom, there it is. Download the app. We're on the inferior Apple Store, and we are on Google Play, Android. Just like mom used to make.
You got a lot of pent-up aggression towards the Apple Store for some reason. I don't know what that's about, but that's fine. Guys,
touch yourself.
That was a lot of burps in one time. Shouldn't have pregame food and pregame beer and pregame shots all at one time. That doesn't help out. Guys, don't forget, this is a live stream. We're here in the flesh. I thought you were taking a shot again. I was like, we are concerned. Doug's here. Doug wants to hear from you guys. All of the fans of Doug that we know are in the stream all the time. Only when Doug's on, only when Doug's on, he wants to hear from you guys.
So make bring sure
you
those drop fire takes.
What are we going to call them? We got to Doug, you got to have like a fan club or something. What is the Doug fan club?
Oh man,
Doug,
the D-Mac Maniacs. I don't know.
D-Mac Maniacs.
You gotta be a maniac to be a fan of me. But
see, this is why this guy's a legend. You just find a way to just word vomit things that work.
Hey the man,
he's the Julio Urias. What else have you had? You've had some killer names,
man. I don't even know. Dustin Mania, the Gunslinger. You know, I just like to have fun with it. But you know what? Though? I gotta give. You know, I always look forward to every day on the Slack seeing AJ and yours' names. Yeah. You guys, you know, my favorite one he did recently was when you had the Billy McKinney and did the Kill McBilly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like I'm always thinking, like, what will they think of next? So it's like.
Doug Dynasty. Nicholas came up with Doug Dynasty right now.
The Doug Dynasty.
I like the Doug Dynasty. Let's dig in. Find us some good comments, man. They're all good comments.
I'm dropping in the comments. Roach over on the stream. First one in there. Friend of the show, as always, says, Anthony, better not say happy Thursday because there's nothing to be happy about today. And then shortly after that, Anthony, other friend of the show, yo, happy Thursday, my dudes. Anthony, perfect comedic timing. I don't know if you guys texted each other before that. You were like, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to time it up. It's going to be perfect. Noah Reynolds. 30 seconds into the show says Dave's got to go. I think that's going to be a reoccurring theme over here. Ruben on Facebook checking in from Santa Maria, 805. That's like the middle, right? Where the beer's from?
Yeah. It's where some of our beer friends live, like Eric. Eric, beer friend. There. Dodger Rebel. God, I love this comment. McKinney betting cleanup in the wild card game. You can already taste it. You can absolutely already taste
it's
that.
It's already happened. Their lineup's already been set.
Oh, well, let's see. Who else we got in here? Roach is here, of course. You already said we love some Roach. Josh Gitt, what crime did Roberts in the front office commit, and why did Billy McKinney have the evidence? Only explanations as to why he's getting playing time. His playing time has severely reduced. I think that was the reason they had to have sent down Matt Beatty, just so they could play Billy McKinney less and not have to answer for their crimes.
I will say that fans have noticed more and more that Billy McKinney is not good ever since we brought up all the Matt Beatty, Billy McKinney stats, combined them into one, and I said, hey, look, his defense isn't great. I get that. Matt Beatty's defense isn't great. He doesn't play at one consistent position, but look, how bad does he have to be? Bad?
Didn't that one little, like, short dude on the internet try to say that Beatty wouldn't be the savior? I don't think anybody ever said Matt Beatty would be a lineup savior, but at least he's going to put together a goddamn, like, major league quality at bat.
Okay, here's the thing. Now we're going off on a tangent. We're getting off the rules. Here's what happens. It's not the point. The point is not that Matt Beatty will be the savior of the Dodgers. The point is that the Dodgers do not have their best roster in front of them right now. And on top of that, those guys are available to them. Okay? Mm-hmm. So it's one thing if you're on the injured list. It's one thing if you're not healthy. It's one thing if you got, you know, bad things going on. The Dodgers have better players at AAA. One of those better players is Matthew Beatty. I don't know if his name's actually Matthew, but
it's Matthew Thomas Beatty, and he is a big league hitter.
And we have said many, many times, and we will address it once again, we are most certainly biased. Most certainly. Yeah. However, when you put the facts in front of you,
FAX.
I don't know how you justify any of that.
I don't know how you justify Billy McKinney on the roster. I don't know how you justify starting Ofer Belly every single day.
Big fan of service time manipulation, I'll tell you that. Big fan of that. That happens a lot in baseball. I'm not saying that's what's happening. However,
but you're inferring it.
I am inferring that's what's happening. Because, for whatever reason, the Los Angeles Dodgers of Los Angeles have it out for Matthew Beatty, and I don't know why.
If word rumor is, if he is down in the minor leagues for 14 days,
another service year.
Yeah, I think it's like accounts as 21 days.
He's at 1.1 right now, and so if he carried over for another year, that would mean that he gets one more extra year of service time and one more year of control that they have for him, which might actually be eliminated by the CBA. So who knows?
What the Dodgers get a lot of praise for player development, for a lot of things. One thing I think they do not get a demerit on enough is their treatment of some players. Some players that are not quite always all-star level. I mean, you're costing these dudes money. You're costing people like Jock Peterson future earnings. Kike Hernandez, future earnings. Ross Stripling, future earnings. And, I mean, it is what it is. You're still playing in the big leagues. They're still making more money than we'll all ever see in our lives. But I don't know, man. It's a little shady sometimes. Yeah, you know, you wonder if they also have that. What they had the spreadsheet of all the all the scouting, like, malfeasances back in the day. Anyways, tangent. We're Beatty fans.
We've been here's the thing too. We've been talking about this for 2 years now. Like, this is something that's just now coming to light, where people are like, "Wait, what's happening here?" Because there's obviously something happening. Like, there's no way you look at it and say Matt Beatty's down for a specific reason. Everybody knows, even if you're not a Matt
Beatty
fan.
What is he going
to work on? Even if you're not a Matt Beatty fan, you know he's down for no reason. You're like, there's no reason he should not be up right now. This is kind of pointless. Rosters have expanded. What the hell's going on?
Well,
we've been addressing this for 2 years. Like, hey, there's something weird happening there, and now it's coming to light more and more. I feel like. Doug?
Yeah, I mean, you guys have been strong advocates for Matt Beatty, I think for good reason. When it comes to Matt Beatty, just think about the things we say when we're describing Cody Bellinger versus Matt Beatty. We say, well, Matt Beatty will at least put the ball in play. That's how low we've gotten with Cody Bellinger. So we're talking about guys that can put the ball in play. And you guys know I'm a big, I'm a Belly believer. I'm a Bellinger believer for sure, right? And the thing is, I bring my facts to the fight. Don't let my facts get in the way of my feelings. He's hitting 193 in his last 500 plate appearances. So usually people will say,
by the way, from his season average.
I mean, 159 on the year. So you look at Matt Beatty, starts the season 1-for-11, then goes to the alternate site, works some stuff out. Since then, hitting 272, hitting 300 with runners in scoring position, 333 with runners in scoring position, two outs. He's going to go up there, give you a, like I said, just think about what we're saying. He'll go up there and give you a big league at bat. Well, you should be. You're in the big leagues, right? And then to add insult to injury, you have Bellinger batting fifth. Did Cody's mom make the lineup today? I mean... I just don't understand. What I was saying a couple weeks ago during that, I was saying on the postgame show a few weeks ago when we rolled out that lineup on the Sunday game to the Rockies where Justin Turner pitched, how terrible that lineup was. I was like, this is not going to get it done. It's like the meme with the pretty horse starting, and at the end it looks like the preschooler drew it. I think it was another example of that today. And it's disappointing because, like you guys said, you know you're going to lose games in baseball. But when you lose games when you don't think you're playing the best players, it's just very frustrating considering now 3 games back in the loss column.
That's the biggest thing. It's never been a point of Matt Beatty's going to save this lineup. That's never what we've said. We've never believed that. I don't think any one person can save any one lineup, personally. Yeah. It's a matter of having your best roster out there, having your best lineup out there on a daily basis in the middle of a freaking division race. And obviously, I don't know. We'll get to the division race.
September. You are 2.5 games behind the division leaders.
There's 21 games
with 21
left.
Games left. And you are still trying to see if Cody Bellinger is going to get you something this season. He's not. It's proven. It sucks. You know, we really haven't talked all that much about the shoulder. We've
eased up on him a lot. I feel like we've kind of give Cody a break for the most part.
I think we always give him a break because Dave, time and time again, it says, oh, yeah, he's going to sit. He's going to sit a little bit more. He's not going to be in there every...
He doesn't.
He's a liar.
I swear.
You're a liar,
something
David.
Always happens where, you know, AJ gets hurt this time. And they're like, all right, well, he's going to get more at-bats. And I'm like, son of a... Nicholas Ramos says, Matt Beatty, truth is rise. We are strong. We are all together. We are here. We're going to start a fan club. I think we're going to meet on Tuesdays.
Bob Nightingale in the stream saying Bellinger on pace for 50 home run season. Dick Hooker in the stream. What's up, guys? Checking in from Lancaster. What the hell was that today? That should be a good segue, but we're going to get a couple more comments in here. Roach says, I haven't seen you guys since the last time you podcasted.
Cooper's in the stream.
Hi, Coop.
Cooper,
how you doing, bud?
Let me know if you need help sorting out this Beatty situation. Cooper, big-time OKC Dodgers guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's the manager now.
Yeah, you're the definitely got to be the manager.
I heard he
now.
Was going to yell, "Hey Kershaw, are you a swinger at the game?" But I advised him against that.
Do not yell at Clayton Edward Kershaw when
he said
on
if
the
he
ball.
Doesn't turn around, then I have to leave the game.
Nah,
logically speaking,
reasonable.
Otherwise, it's real weird in Oklahoma.
All right, do the giveaway. We're going to do the giveaway again. We
giving stuff away.
Tim Neverett, friend of the show, and
you can win a
Dodgers broadcaster. But Tim has a new book, COVID Curveball. It is out now. It is available on the Amazon. It is available through Tim. It is available as an audio book, one of those like Kindle books or whatever, I think. It's officially out there. We've seen a number of friends of the show tagging us in... what are they called? Instagrams and other things. So we appreciate everybody that has purchased a book, and Tim very much appreciates everybody who has purchased a book. We said last week we were going to give away a signed copy. If you guys didn't win it, which a whole bunch of you, only one of you guys won it, we're giving away a signed copy. But if you want a signed copy, you can actually talk to Tim. You go ahead and DM Tim on Twitter or Instagram. I think it's at Tim Neverett, but just, you know, Google him. It's real easy. You can find him, and he will get you set up with a signed copy. You can buy it straight from him. He'll send it to you, and it'll have all of that fun Tim charm. But the winner, and I was really happy the way things shook out. I don't think this friend of the show has won anything with us in the past, but if she has, well, she has another one. She has a book. Norma Palacios has won the... am I doing it wrong?
I don't know. It could be either way, to be honest with you. I'm very white.
Which white guy is saying the name right?
You're white passing. I'm very white, so it's just...
You won the book. Shoot us an email at podcast@dodgersnation.com or DM myself or Brooke. We need to get your shipping info so Tim can get that book over to you. But... cool. Go buy the book. That's it. Book.
Justin
coming in with book talk.
Justin over on Periscope says showed my dad the show show headline and he laughed. You had a good show headline today. Yeah, we're pretty proud of that. Oh. Justin's dad. Hello. Congratulations on the laugh. I don't know.
Rich Hills Blister says sorry. I can't read.
That's a good point. I also cannot read.
I don't think it's available in Braille.
I have not learned yet. Maddie Man Dodge over on YouTube says Jesus Brooke, how tall are you? In that picture, I think I look taller because I'm around shorts.
Yeah, yeah. I am not blessed with tall, and neither is Tim.
Neither is Tim, apparently, or so, Mrs. FRG.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We shorty.
I'm like 69 inches tall, plus a couple. Yeah.
I get it. Yeah. I get it. All right, well, that's all the happy we had. Let's talk about the Dodgers losing 2-4 to the Cardinals.
Blister's going to have so much fun in the chat.
What in God's name was that lineup today as we bring back in a box of Doug?
The exact thing that I wrote down.
I mean, look, Dave changed the lineup at the top. He decided that Mookie needs to be the leadoff again. Trey Turner bats third. Okay, whatever. It kind of worked. Trey went 2-for-4, 2-for-5, whatever it is. Mook had a hit and I think a walk. They got on base. There were no more big league quality at-bats after the fourth hitter, which was Justin Turner. Cody Bellinger, Steven Souza, who, by all accounts, should be out of the game if he wasn't a nice guy and was like, yeah, I'll just stay at AAA until you guys need me.
He does real good impersonations, though.
Hey, I'll be out back if you guys need any more stuff for your potty.
Real Kike energy, in my opinion.
And we love Souza. I mean, he's a nice guy. It's a great story. He shouldn't be batting between 159 Cody and Billy McKinney, who is an American human being. And, hey, who's cleaning up for that for? Austin F. Barnes.
You know what? Also, let me, okay. Said a lot of bad things about Austin Barnes in my life, and I'll continue to say a lot of bad things about Austin Barnes in my life. I don't respect Riverside at all. It's coming as, a Riverside guy. We disrespect each other. We don't look out for each other. He was the best hitter in that particular portion of the lineup. Yeah. That's really saying something. Put Austin Barnes in center field.
Put him in the five hole.
Put him in center field. Let's see what he can do, baby. He's athletic. He can do something out there. I put it on Twitter. I would rather have Matt Beatty with bricks tied to his hands playing center field right now than Cody Bellinger taking at bats. God, dude.
Like you said, it really felt like it was a punt from the start. I'm imagining you had some thoughts on what you saw on the lineup card there, Doug.
I mean, if you look at it from yesterday to today, that's a combined 0-for-29, something like that. If you look at this Dodgers offense, averaging just over 3 runs per game, under 200 last 25 games or so, they're just not getting it done. So when you combine the fact that you have a bad lineup with some of your best hitters going through a slump at the same time in Muncy and Taylor and Justin Turner, it's just a recipe for a disaster, and you're seeing no production from the bottom half of that lineup, and it's just frustrating to go out there and spoil these performances, these gutsy performances by the bullpen, some of our starters, and you just got to go out there and you got to find a way to produce. Just some of the at-bats today, you saw, Bellinger goes up there, you got the bases loaded, first pitch, fly out. I mean, you got to have a more competitive at-bat. That the one he swung at today, we struck out, it was almost shades of Javi Baez from a few weeks ago. I mean, it's getting – I think you're doing a disservice to Cody Bellinger at this point where it almost feels like he's getting embarrassed day in and day out. And this lineup is just not scoring runs. And when it continues to – the lack of success continues, you just have to change the approach and the strategy, and then it's just not pretty with this offense. And I just don't – one thing I'm really upset about, I get the shakeup, but why take Trey Turner off that leadoff spot? Dodgers are 21-6 with him leading off, and I get it. Mookie Betts is Mookie Betts, but we know that in the postseason you're probably going to be rolling with the lineup that has Trey Turner at the top, so I just don't understand the shakeup. And, yes, I'm definitely frustrated, especially because you're losing games that are very winnable. You hold the Cardinals to two runs. You expect the Dodgers to at least hit that three-run mark. And you got to give credit to the pitchers, too. Wainwright yesterday, he's pitched very well.
I know
he
was on.
He was on. Yeah, and
such a weird person.
It's just the Dodgers' success against breaking balls has been really disappointing. But I guess the positive spin is, look, now you got to lock in. You got 21 games to go. You have this little slump right here. Hopefully you get Pollo back at some point. It turns out Pollo, I guess, was the glue to this team. So
I knew it.
You know, it's the Wolverine meme where you're looking at the picture, you know, with Pollo, and it's just – and just having him at the bottom of that lineup. And if you look at his power numbers, you know, they're not explosive with the slug with Pollo. It's the hits. It's getting on base.
It's getting on base. And I've had people argue with me in the past about, like, the Beatties. We keep going back to Beatty. Apparently the last two episodes is just all, like, gushing over Beatty. But we're that desperate for somebody who could actually put the bat to the ball and move it forward, as Dave likes to call it, moving it forward. But somebody was talking about how there's no slug. There's no slug with Matt Beatty. At some point, you need somebody in the lineup who could just move the ball forward. Who's going to get on base at a 350 clip?
Sometimes you don't need slug.
Sometimes you need on base.
Sometimes you need the pieces there to get moving. Sometimes you need the guy who's going to hit the ground ball to the right side, and that's it. Sometimes that's all you need. A lot of times, situational hitting is huge, and the Dodgers a lot of times lack that. Speaking of which, it's not related at all. It was not a good transition. Don Kiedek on YouTube says, can I get a shout-out? Don, you could absolutely get a shout-out for me. Hello.
What up, Don?
Don.
We call that derailing.
I like to derail a lot of things. Jim over on Facebook says, I miss Pollock terribly. And you know what, guys? This is what I appreciate about the Pollock injury. Now you'll know he is the most undervalued person on this team. He is the best contract on this team. He is... Where would we be without A.J. Pollock in 2021? We would be screwed. Remember how when everybody died at the beginning of the year and there was only A.J. Pollock and Matt Beatty playing the outfield, like, all the time? It was A.J. Pollock, Chris Taylor, and Matt Beatty in the outfield for, like, a pretty decent chunk of time. And A.J. carried, like he does.
That's what he does. What he does. Doug, you said, very good point. It's at this point, playing Cody Bellinger in the lineup, it feels like a disservice. You're the... The more worser you are, the more you're going to feel it in your brain hole. And, you know, I mean, to be real, if we look at this as humans, we've seen Cody Bellinger turn off his notifications or his comments on social media at different points in time.
It's because Flonase.
When you have a bad nose, Flonase.
Well, you feel the allergies creeping up.
Hey, he's not blessed with ad reads. It's all good. It took us how long to get terrible at him? So that much is fine. But, I mean, sure, the dude was an MVP a couple of years ago, but at this point, he's not. He's far from it. And you're rolling him out there. He's going 0-for. He's seeing the noise. Everybody's on him. Finally, the media is, you know, talking a lot more about why is Cody still in this lineup. He's going to see all that, and it's going to just – you're going to worry that much more about it. You know, this isn't like the softball team where you guys keep forcing me to bat lineup leadoff, because even though I'm the worst player, as it usually goes on softball teams you build. It's just a bad move for Cody. It's bad for his future to be the guy – who goes from a 305 to a 239 to a 160 season, and then he's going to look at that and he's going to have to answer those questions. And the narrative is always going to be, who's the real Cody Bellinger? And that's it's a lot, man. It's a lot mentally. And he's still, you know, he's still a young boy.
So, yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, are we going to go, Brooke?
No, I was going to say, so we brought up the point in the past that MVP Bellinger is not Cody Bellinger.
No.
But he's not this.
No.
Do you believe that?
I think the real optimal Cody Bellinger is a guy that's 265, 30 home runs, elite defense. I think that's the Cody Bellinger you want to be. You don't want to be the guy that we were talking about, oh, it's the end of May and he's hitting 400 like Ted Williams. Can he try to be that? No, he needs to be a slugger, take advantage of his great defense. But at some point, his great defense does not justify him being in there over guys that can put the ball in play. He does not look like a big league hitter right now. I think I really do think at this point it's a complete overhaul of his swing. I think you need to completely overhaul and micro-analyze every single thing that's going on with his swing, with the upright stance, doesn't bend his knees. I mean, he's so easy to exploit.
Have swing changes for him.
No, yeah, dude, and that's the thing. Like everyone becomes a hitting coach, right? When it comes to Cody Bellinger, because most people you're like, I don't know, but his is like, wait a minute, he's standing upright like that.
He's
always stood upright, but it's the bat speed. It's the bat speed at this point when it's Cody Bellinger
it's the timing
and the rhythm and
the foot. The foot getting down, it's the fire of the swing. And you also think about, and we've talked about it before, you think about that lead shoulder. That's the shoulder that was operated on. So if you don't have that strength in that right side, you can't really pull the bat through. So
then
he's going to get beat on breaking balls because he's trying to cheat on the fastball. But if he tries to stay back and be normal, he gets beat on everything.
Jim over on Facebook says, I'll take a 250, 25 home run, 75 RBI, Cody. And that brought up a good point that I saw on Twitter. I don't remember who said it, but they were like, I missed 2018 Cody. And 2018 Cody was not good.
Just 25 homers.
He wasn't good. But now you're looking at it now and you're like, man, I wish I had 2018. If you had 2018 Cody right now, I think the Dodgers are probably five games up in the division. It's a real difference 100%. Maker. You look at the, his wins above replacement and what he's usually at versus what he's at now, and you're like, oh my God, like that's such a drastic swing from what he's normally at. Obviously, MVP year, I still maintain, is an outlier. That'll never happen again. That's a flash in the pan. I think he got lucky in one season. He locked things in. He found a rhythm. He got a groove. And also fell apart during that season, by the way. A lot of people forget the last half of the season.
And I agree with you 100%. Like, I do think that you're right, 100%. It was an outlier season, but I still thought he would be a perennial all-star with his ability to hit for power, play elite defense.
Mm-hmm.
He's an athlete, exactly. And, like, he doesn't – when you see the range he covers – in the outfield, he's not making the highlight catches that you see with a lot of the dives. But look, we know he's a really good outfielder. We know that he is a guy that can run in. He's going to run into one every now and then with that swing. And like you said,
is he?
But at this point? look, his shoulder is a factor. Make no mistake about it. But it does feel like, of any player I've seen in recent memory, it does feel like his power's got space jammed a little bit. Like it really feels like
feel
that
like a Monstar situation.
I mean, he looks so dejected. He looks like, I don't know, man. I feel for the dude. I'm not hating on Cody Bellinger.
How long ago do you think his last extra base hit was?
Was it the Mets?
Coming up on a month.
Was it the Mets?
The Pirates series.
Oh, the Pirates series.
August 17th, he doubled.
Yeah.
Oof. August 17th.
Oh, well, by the way, speaking of the Pirates, how's Yoshi doing these days?
Superstar slugger.
Can I get an update?
That was another guy. That was another guy we were clamoring for at some point. That's how desperate the situation had become.
Remember when Cody homered twice in Philly? And everybody's like, he's back.
I was one of those guys.
That was a thing that happened this year?
He homered twice in Philly in August. Oof. Yeah, early August. He homered twice, and we were like, he's back, baby.
Oh, yeah. That was because we were talking crap about him.
One good swing does not mean Cody's back. One good at-bat does not mean Cody's back. We're in September now.
Yeah.
Like, we're at the point now where it's like, we've been saying for a long time, like, he's got to work his way back. He's going to find his way back. He'll eventually get back to it. He's in his spring training right now because he had the shoulder surgery. He broke his leg. He had the hamstring injury. He's way behind. He is no longer way behind. He is just sucking, and there's no other way around it. There's no sugarcoating it. We had Mark McGuire was on AM570 with Dave. He talked a lot about like everything that's wrong with Cody's swing and the way he broke it down. Yeah, Mark McGuire came from a different time. Mark McGuire was a different hitter. He was not a great hitting coach. I don't think he is a great coach. I don't think he should really be a coach at all. But with that being said, the dude was the, home run king for a second.
Yeah.
You look at what he's breaking down in Cody's swing and you start to analyze it and you're like, there's something to it for sure. There is definitely something to it. He's definitely missing something. It's no longer a shoulder issue. It's no longer a leg issue. His lower half isn't going at all. It's like he has a two-strike approach without the legs, because that's a big thing with two-strike approach. No legs. And that is a thing, and big leaguers will tell you that. But swinging for the fences also at the same time. I'm like, how do you have both? Like, it's a weird combination of like, I don't know what I'm doing right now.
A lot of people have a lot of opinions about Cody Bellinger.
Oh, I love
and
so much.
Everybody's we get a lot of coach. We get a lot of emails about it.
So many guys.
Pretty funny. So let's take a Cody break.
Roach said McGuire also used steroids. That's a good point. I think that's what's missing from Cody's game.
Isn't Roach like a steroids advocate? Like,
I hope so.
He wants that to be legal.
Steroids saved baseball. That's a given fact.
Who wants to see me hit some dingers?
Dingers!
It did.
We're going to take a Cody break. We're going to get back into Cody in a few minutes.
Coward.
Because that's enough Cody.
We should talk about him for an hour.
No, because we talked about Matt Beatty for an hour last week.
What about the people who say he should cut his hair? I thought it was weird at first, and now I'm behind it.
Oh, I've been behind that for a while.
I thought it was weird. I was like, you freaking weirdos.
Dude, they
like,
needed to sneak into his, like almost like a frat hazing thing. Like, sneak into his hotel and just pin him down, shave his head.
At this point, you need to be open to anything and everything. He needs to be wearing a thong.
Oh, my God.
He needs to wax his nipples. He needs to shave his head. He needs to wear his hat sideways. Anything.
Baseball players are like that.
Because there is no F.U. Jobu. I'll do it myself. He can't do it himself right now. Other news. The Dodgers got Tony Gonsolin back today. And he didn't do it that bad for Tony.
For being off as long as he has. And
40 games off.
For not having a good season. I mean, he was... You have his walk numbers, don't you? They
statistically,
they're pretty bad.
The counting numbers were good for your boy Anthony Gonsolin, friend of the show. However, dude has been wild. He's walking 6.6 batters per nine, which is absurd.
I could do that.
It is beyond absurd. Yeah, he's got like you playing office baseball kind of control.
Oh man, my
was terrible.
Oh, my shoulder though. Jim says Cody needs to be committed like Brooks. Stash mullet, do it. I agree.
Well,
Jim,
there it is.
Good call, Jim. Fix him.
Roach had one. I guess we're back on Cody again.
Sorry,
Roach had one. Does Cody get booed this weekend? Yes. Zero doubt.
I think he does get booed.
Cody
this
Bellinger
weekend.
For the first time in his big league career is gonna get booed by the home crowd. I have no doubt on there. But Tony's back, and it's a sign of things going the right way because there. I don't understand how the hell this amalgamation rotation has survived with the openers and the bullpen.
It's a big word.
It shouldn't. The Dodgers should be 40 games back right now, man. They should. You don't win baseball games with that many openers and just shuffling people in and out and all of this. It's not the way it's supposed to work.
Well, look,
but it did.
When Phillyum Bickford is one of your best.
The legend, show
best
hair.
Bullpen picture.
He's got show hair.
He has show hair. Yeah. You think I should bleach it?
Yes.
I had a recommendation that I should perm it before I cut it.
Get that soul glow?
Considering it. Very much considering it. Bring back the Jerry curl? I don't know. What are we doing, guys? When Phil Bickford
it's
is one of your... One of
Pedro
your...
is my favorite Jerry curl.
He says, good Jerry curl. Yeah. When Phil Bickford is one of your best relievers to come out of the pen, you know that it's been a weird year. And that's not to say Phil Bickford is bad. Phil Bickford is a good pitcher. We are very excited about that. Clint had called it very, very early on. He was like, he's not going to be a Jag. And we're big on Jags over here. We're big Jagoffs.
Just the guy.
That's what it means. Just so
guy.
You guys know. But when he recognized Phil Bickford, he's like, I think this is going to be a dude for the rest of the year. A dude versus a Jag.
Yeah.
Very different things, by the way.
He's a dude. He's a dude the same way, maybe just a fraction less of the way Alex Vesey is a dude, because Alex Vesey is a dude.
Oh, my God.
But...
I got a big man crush on Alex Vesey, by the way. The dude flat out shoves. He's excited. He brings energy. I love that guy.
Gonsolin's back. The velo ticked back up. It's going to be... massively helpful because we're not going to be starting Mitch White, who been hugely serviceable, hugely important to the success of this team in 2021. He's not going to give you a better chance to win ball games in September, games you need to win. And I feel a little bit better about Anthony Gonsolin giving you an opportunity. The Catman can bring Saturday any day, Catterday any day, and make some things happen. We've had... three starters in a five-man rotation for months.
Uh-huh.
Clayton Kershaw.
Crenshaw.
Tony Crenshaw, set to come back on Monday, provided his bullpen goes well on Friday. You got to feel a little bit better about this. However, the problem hasn't been the pitching. It's been the hitting. So it's like we get these dudes back. Oh, well, that's not going to help us win ball games.
I wasn't listening.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, just kind of going back to Gonsolin, I mean, that was, yeah.
Coming at you live.
Coming at you live.
Man,
yeah.
I hurt my neck.
We're just talking, I mean, that was kind of my big takeaway today, kind of the Michelada half full take was Tony Gonsolin was out there averaging around 18 pitches per inning. Did have the walk to, I think, Goldschmidt in the bottom of the third, gave up the single, the double, and I think for the other hit. But I think for the most part, he looked like, I think the biggest takeaway too, when he was there this earlier, you were saying 93, maybe touch a 94 on the gun. He was back to 96. He looked like he felt really good out there. And I think if he can go out there, attack the strike zone, he can be a real weapon as that. Like you said, I've been saying, the Dodgers are trying to win games with three starters and seven batters. You know what I mean?
Seven? So, you're giving them seven?
I mean,
maybe that was in the Pollo.
Yeah.
That was
I'm discounting Bellinger and the pitcher spot, but yeah, you're right. I mean, really like round five, I guess, would be nice. Five, six, depending on the day.
Yeah.
And you're right. Offense is the issue. The pitching has stepped up and they've really carried this team, but we know that this team has to find a way to score runs. And I just think it, when you look at it, Mookie, not a lot of talk about. Look, I mean, if I'm Bellinger, who I'm most upset with is my teammates, in a sense that if they're still hitting like they're capable of, the Muncies, the Turners, the Mookies,
less of a spotlight on
you're
you.
Not getting the spotlight because he's the easy target. He's the guy you want to blame. He has the narrative, the former MVP, this now Chris Davis vibe, right? But
I didn't want to say it.
I mean, we're so far from the Chris Davis fall off.
Hey,
but
hey, who was? This I've been struggling trying to remember the name, and I haven't bothered to do the research. But who was that one dude? I think he was also an Oriole, but he was in the 90s, or maybe he was a Padre. He came out and was it Chris Gwynn? He hit like 50 home runs or something, and then he just never hit again. They're like, oh, this guy's the next big thing, and then it was the 90s.
It's somebody, like Dallas McPherson, dude.
Yeah.
You guys remember Dallas McPherson?
Oh, man.
When Dallas came from the Angels, it was like, this dude is going to be a god. He's going to be Josh Hamilton-esque. And then he was like, never mind. I'm Dallas McPherson.
I'm
He's
not
a substitute teacher now, I'm pretty sure. I don't know what he does anymore.
Brady Anderson. There it is. Thank you. Brady Anderson. Look it up, kids.
Brady Anderson. I don't even know who that is.
Oh, yeah. No. Look at the numbers.
Is he related to Brady Quinn?
Yes. Yeah. That's why they have the same first name.
They're both kind of the same, probably, type of player.
That is 100% how that works. But again, pitching is not going to help the Dodgers win ball games. It's important. It's keeping them in ball games. Absolutely. But we haven't had any massive stinkers in a while.
It's pretty impressive that they could just recall.
I knew there were smart people out there. Yeah. They're watching us.
Smart followers, man.
I just couldn't remember the name right now.
We're just dumb.
It happens.
Yeah.
At one point in the season, the Dodgers were in charge of their own destiny. Now, absolutely not. So very far from it. And surprise, surprise, the Giants are for real. We were talking about it. The three of us here were talking about it before the show. That, you know, if the Giants were where they were supposed to be, where everybody thought they were going to be, the Dodgers would probably have like a 10-game lead in the division. And nobody would be worried. Nobody would be crying about anything. But here we are.
Like the Brewers.
There's a team that's much better for no reason than the Dodgers. Not much better. There's a team that's a good fraction better than the Dodgers. And it... there's no reason. They just keep winning. The Dodgers can't overly always win. Giants 33-18 in the second half. Somehow got better, even though their pitching, like their starting pitching, regressed. They've been hurt often. It doesn't make a whole lick of sense. I've seen some folks being like, "Hey, they're cheating." I don't know where they're cheating, but I'll buy in. John Boy, look it up.
I like to fake with that. Like, I don't actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, orange is cheating. So, I mean, that's the official color of cheaters.
And they have a marginally easier schedule than the Dodgers do to finish out.
Okay. So here's the thing. I feel like everything hinges on the Padres, which is a bad place to be in.
It really is a bad
place. Because the Padres never come through for the Dodgers ever again. You look at the strength schedule for the Giants, they got the Cubs, which are the Cubs.
Bad.
They traded away their team. They've been kind of winning recently a little bit, though. They have walk-offs.
I think it was like 8-10 or something.
1-8-10. They're on a little bit of a streak, but they kind of have nobody on their team left. after that, they got the Padres, Braves, Padres, Rockies, D-backs, Padres. They play nine games against the Padres for the rest of the year. Dodgers play six games against the Padres for the rest of the year. The Dodgers have Padres, D-backs, Reds, Rockies, D-backs, Padres, Brewers, which I feel like that Brewers series could actually really play in our favor because they will not play anybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not going to throw their starting pitchers. You won't see like a Corbin Burns. You'll probably see a Brett Anderson in there somewhere, some crap like that. They're at a point now where they're blowing out their division. They're fine.
Yeah.
They're not worried about that at all. They're also probably not super worried about record by that time of the year also. So I think that kind of plays out in our favor a little bit. But also, like, what if the Padres really fall behind? What if they really fall behind the division and they start to be like, well, we're definitely not going to put Tatis out there and risk getting him hurt.
That's a really good point, guys.
So if you're playing the Giants like that, I mean, obviously the good news is they kind of have it, the Padres coming right up on them. So they're going to be competitive in that series, in the later series, the last series of the year, which they do their final series is against the Padres. They might be at the point where they're so far out of it or out of it too far enough to be like, not worth the risk.
Yeah, the Giants, right? You're talking about more than the Giants, right.
So the Padres could go either way.
The Padres will have no choice but to play every series because the Reds are right on their ass for that second wild card spot.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. If the Padres somehow slip and fall like four games out of the wild card by the time that the three-game series against the Giants comes up at the end of the year, that's a wash series. Like, the Giants are probably going to take that series in the same way that we'll probably take that series over the Brewers. It is a weird place to be in, to be like, oh, so much hinges on the Padres, and the Padres are just so inconsistent. The Padres should be better. I will say that. They should be better than what they are.
Yeah.
Now that I've said that, it's probably going to be a tough series this weekend.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Reds have fallen off a little bit.
A little bit.
And so we're basically saying is go Padres when they're playing the Giants. And we need my man to do a diss track on the Giants this time. Can we get something like that?
Ferdy Raps.
My Ferdy Raps, my man out there.
Yeah.
But really what it comes down to, also, you got the Giants taking on, they're going to be taking on the Braves at home. Braves have a 2.5-game lead in the NL East. Then it just comes down to, I guess, how, I think the Padres, look, they're all in on this year. Fernando Tatis Jr. By the way, I was going to say, for one of the guys who fall off, I didn't want to be that guy, but his dad was another guy who had a really good season with the 34 bombs St. Louis, and he kind of fell off himself, kind of a little one-hit wonder. But I think what it comes down to is, like, you're right, Clint, if any other season, we'd probably be sitting pretty at this point. Only in the eight division wins, in this streak, with the eight division wins, only twice have they won more than 100 games. They had the 104, and they had the 106 in 2019. This year, they're on pace to win 101 games. So most of the time, we'd be like, okay, you know, belly. It'd be about getting belly reps to try to see if you can come through in the postseason. But look, this is a different year. The Giants, they were projected to win like five games this year. And all of a sudden, they just won. I think what I've been telling my friends is they keep asking me, when are the Giants going to fall off this year? I'm like, I don't know, December. You know, like, I don't think it's coming. And it's just so wild to see the formula where you don't have that one or two premier guy. I mean, I think they have eight guys with double-digit home runs. They have, like, 208 home runs on the season.
They also have these, like, aging-ass veterans performing like their freaking rookie of the year right now, dude. Yeah. You got Buster Posey alive. His name's Gerald. Like, first of all, no, his name's Gerald. Second of all, Brandon Crawford with his slick-ass hair finding ways to win ball games and hit home runs and do stupid shit that he's never done in his entire career all of a sudden. Get a two-year contract, get an extension. You got Stephen Duggar making a comeback for some weird-ass reason. Carl Yastrzemski's great-great-grandson or whatever the hell he is doing things. Lamont Wade is, like, hitting, like, 600 in the ninth inning or some ridiculous
crazy.
Like,
I mean,
it's these
sometimes you just
things,
you know, it's that
thug, man.
Catch lightning in a bottle a year for them, and
it happens.
I was hoping, like,
catch
you said,
lightning in a bottle. Yeah. It's a perfect storm. It's everything. Yeah. All of the cliches. That's what's going on with the Giants, and you know, it's a brand new ball game in October. We'll see if the clock strikes midnight by then. What else we got? I got anybody
Cinderella
got more?
Shoe.
They can turn into the orange pumpkin, you know, like.
You see, I think they will turn into the orange pumpkin. That's good because they're orange.
Yeah, exactly. Little giant pumpkin.
Look. But look, two weeks ago? Something like that. I said the Dodgers would finish four games up in the NL West. I stand by that. I believe that there will be an epic meltdown of epic proportions, Bobby Thompson-esque, if you will, that type of meltdown. I think it will happen. I think that the starting pitching, you can already see it start to dwindle. Yeah, I think it's been on the horizon for a while, and I think that it will come back to get them. I just don't see it happening, and I still don't see it happening. I've said it all year long, and I know you guys have stuck with me this entire time, but promise you, the Dodgers will win this division. I am very confident of that. If a Giants fan wants to bet me some money, I don't have any. But I will bet pride. I don't have any of that either, but I will bet
it. Not have any pride.
I agree with you 100% too, Brooke, but my question is, what will it take? Is it an 18-3 finish? Is it 17-4? Will the Giants have this big drop-off? I do think we just don't know what San Diego team we're going to get. Look at how good Blake Snell looked the other night. You got Snellzilla.
In my opinion, the Dodgers don't have another run in them. I don't see it. I don't feel it. They're just too far gone. They're too far flat, and they're 2.5 games behind the Giants right now. So the Giants got to
do 2.5 with 21 left.
Uh-huh.
2.5 with 21 left. Not 12.5.
Three in the loss column. Three in the loss column.
That's what they hit. Yeah. Not 12 and a half with 21
back. The Dodgers still need a run, and the Giants need to do three games worser than them.
All they really knew is if the Giants keep playing at their same winning percentage, which, you know, at this point, you expect them to do roughly that, roughly give or take that. The Dodgers just need to win a few extra games more, and that's it. And the difference between that, a lot of it is how the Padres play. A lot of it is how the Padres play. A lot of it is how the Dodgers play against bad teams also along the way. You got the Diamondbacks. You got to make sure you win that series against the Diamondbacks. You have the Padres series coming up ahead of you. You have to make sure you win that Padres series.
Team...
And you do have that long three-game road trip with Cincy, Colorado, and
Arizona. The Giants also have that Braves series, which I think plays in our favor. There's that. They also play poorly against the Rockies, although they proved against that this past week. It means nothing for the rest of the year.
Is there a best team in baseball worse than the Dodgers at playing complete
never,
series
ever in the history of baseball?
No, like playing this season, they can't
in the history,
finish
in
out
the history of baseball series. There has never been a better worse team.
It's
or worse better team.
I mean, just look at
they're
it,
still on pace for what 100 wins, 101
wins, yeah,
and we've, you know, it's you know, man overboard. It just has that feeling because they've played that
they
poorly so often.
Think the Dodgers win this division, and nothing has convinced me otherwise up until this point. I think you look everything you look at between the Dodgers, between the Giants, there is everything. All the writing is there. Every single piece of it.
But the writing has been there all season long that the Giants should fall off.
You say the Dodgers do not hold their own fate. I do believe and contend that they do indeed hold their own fate in their hands. You've got 21 games left, not six games left. You have all the games that you can win. You can go 19-2 and win the division by a hell of a lot from here. And they absolutely have that in to go 19-2. Would you?
They have the talent.
Exactly.
They don't have the mentality. This team is the same way it was at the start of the season. There was a lot of different pieces. You had no Kike. You had no Jock. You introduced this very, very different entity in Trevor Bauer to the team. And they started out really good, and then they just struggled hard. They don't have – Trey Turner talked about it today in the postgame. Like, the laughs aren't there. They don't have – they're playing real tight. You know, they're walking around with their butts real tight.
I mean,
they got to loosen up. They have to find the fun. They have to do something funny. Somebody needs to play in a thong, man. There's always something stupid with baseball.
We're missing
No, I'm not saying
stupid
we're missing.
Ass. Shut up. Shut up. No. You said to me right now is that we need a banana suit. We need a guy to stand on a bucket
banana
of gum. That's all you said to me, man.
Listen,
you lost all credibility. I'm done with you right now.
Look, it's like, hey, it's like a wise man once said, I spell fun W-I-N. If they win, they'll have fun. But I agree with you, though. It's almost as if they don't know what's at stake. And what's at stake is that division win streak, is putting themselves in a position to have a 162-game season come down to one game. And then also, this is the other thing I don't think they're realizing. If this Dodgers team doesn't win this division, they go to the wild card game and they lose that wild card game, you can make the case as one of the most disappointing teams in the history of Major League Baseball. Yeah. And yes, they've had 39 pitchers this season. You have been decimated by injuries. But at the end of the day, you have a rotation that lines up with Bueller, Scherzer, Urias, Kershaw. You have all these beasts at the top right there. You have to find a way to go deep in this postseason.
You also have possessed Kevin Gausman, Desc Lafani. If he survives, Alex Wood. You have Johnny Cueto, who finds a way to do something, even though he's hurt right now.
Offensive struggles do not last forever. And if the Dodgers have taught us anything about that in our entire fandom, is that they do not last forever. If we're going to go through an offensive struggle, I would much rather have it be the first week and a half of the last month of the year, of the regular season. I would absolutely love that. Everybody knows. Fans know. Giants fans sure as hell know that the Dodgers have it in them to put up 10 runs a game every single goddamn game. Every single game. They have it in them. The talent
for two
is
games.
There. The talent
and then they'll go and put
there.
Up one or none for the next
the
three.
The talent is there.
And at some point,
when Matt Beatty gets here, all will be right in the world.
The talent is there, but it's not gelling, and they're going to keep on playing people like Billy McKinney. They're going to keep on playing people like Cody Bellinger. You want to know why? Because these are Dave's guys, and Dave is not managing to win every game right now. He's managing...
Oh, you're full of shit, dude.
No, hey man, hey, you're wrong. Hey man, look,
I don't know. I called it with the 2019 team. Called it with the 2018 team.
It's easy to call those teams, man. It's easy.
All of a sudden.
I will say this is unlike, and it, as much as you want to say it, this is unlike any team we've ever seen before because a lot of it has been out of their hands.
Due to the injuries.
There's injuries. There's obvious, the obvious.
Yeah. They shouldn't even be where they're at because of all the damn injuries.
There's so many things about this team where you're like, man, how the hell did they make it through? And then on top of that, you go out and trade for Max Scherzer, who's undefeated with the Dodgers, by the way, and also on top of that, add Trey Turner, a guy who can completely change up the course of your franchise's history. Not let alone 1 year, your entire franchise history can change it. It's different. It's a different year. 2018, that Dodger team did not belong in the World Series. I think we all knew that. Every bit of my being knew the Dodgers did not belong in that World Series. Even if they traded for Manny Machado, we knew they didn't belong in that World Series. 2019, we knew there was something about them that just didn't sit right with us, that kind of sucked, that we hated, that we knew was not going to play up well. We did not think they were going to lose in the Division Series. None of us thought that. None of us ever believed that.
Yeah.
They did.
I got a five up right now. Cody Bellinger, Steven Souza Jr., Billy McKinney, Austin Barnes, Tony Gonsolin. That was 5 through 9 today in the lineup. That was the lineup that Dave Roberts put out.
Today.
That's murderer's row, and it'll murder your chance of winning.
You want those five up in the first week and a half of September versus the last week of
September. Soft-ass LA media, who never gives Dave Roberts anything, was like, did you really think you could win with that lineup to David Roberts?
And Dave was like, it took everything in Dave to be like, no, I didn't.
Dave Roberts needed to win a game for the Dodgers to not go back a game, and he played that lineup where there was zero chance of those dudes. Maybe they might sniff some grass. No, Ofer.
Mike says Brooke is smoking the same stuff as Belly and Dave. I would love to sit in on a session with Belly and Dave, by the way, if both of them are going to be there.
Yeah, and I just want to respond to Brooke. Like, I'm with you 100% on I still firmly believe the Dodgers will win this division. I mean, when we were at our lowest point, we got no hit by the Cubs, and we had the back-to-back blown saves against hey, my people out there, who told you we'd come back against the Braves in the I mean, what else am I supposed to say? We're going to lose.
I will say this, Clint.
I firmly believe that, too. I tweeted out.
Did he say he believes both of us?
No. Like, let me hear.
You can't play the middle line here.
No, I'll tell you right now. Give me a second. Okay, so I tweeted out, I guarantee the Dodgers will win. I'll delete that tweet. I know some of you guys have already threatened because you told me you screenshot it. If they don't, but I will say this weekend, it does kind of scare me because the Padres are going to come in and they're playing desperate baseball themselves. Yes, and I feel like if we're at the end of this week and we're 4.5 games back, we're 5 games back, and it's starting to get away from us at this point of the season. I think this weekend is bigger than you realize because the Giants are just on. They're just taking care of business, and I'm with you. Just like I said, they're going to fall off in December, and it's concerning to me. I mean, the Dodgers
are not in control of their destiny.
Yeah,
anymore.
Exactly. We have to.
The Dodgers can win, but it is up to the Giants to lose.
Yeah.
So,
and when are teams going to play the spoiler with them? It feels like they're trying to spoil our season, but they're like, "Oh, let's be the Rockies yesterday."
And with how important all of these games are for the Padres, that also is a huge concern because they need to win. They are teetering. They're right there on that wild card spot, so they have no choice but to come in real hard every game they play until the Reds fall off or whatever the hell. You know, other option B is they need to play hard every single game.
Good news, though. We might not agree on all this. We might not believe the same things. But Claire says she loves us on Periscope.
Hey, what up, Claire?
Claire.
Thanks for rocking with us.
Appreciate you, Claire. You love us. We don't love each other right now. I think we are all wrong, but also all right.
I'm going to tell you another thing, Brooke Smith.
This is McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, Burger King.
There you go.
Speaking of Burger King, guys, this is a transition.
Not sponsored by Burger King.
This is a transition. This is going to be a long show today, and it's fun. We're having a good time. This is the Chancer segment, guys. First, we got to remind you about the Chancer app. Not there yet. I'll let you know. I'll point. It's the Chancer app. Go to ChancerHQ.com/Dodgers. We have a new game starting on Friday. We are giving away a big-ass clock with our friends at Chancer. You have to play all month long to end the season, though. Your 4 best scores out of the 5 games will be tabulated. And if you have the most points, and you're not named Brooke because he can't win the big-ass clock.
I'm so good at this game.
If you have the most points, because you all of a sudden started trying a little bit.
I paid attention, yeah.
you can win the big-ass clock. So go to ChancellorHQ.com/Dodgers. You can win that big-ass clock, and that is exactly what I call it. It's a $400 clock. Who pays $400 for a clock? Not you if you win.
The Londoners. What are they called?
English. It's a big Ben?
Yeah.
I think it costs more than that.
I think it's the Steelers quarterback.
Those are in pounds.
Oh, 400 pounds.
Yeah, or quid.
Call Alex.
Guys, whether y'all want to believe it or not, chances are the Dodgers are playing the Padres or the Reds to play in the real postseason. One of this week's Chancer questions on the app was, if the Dodgers do end up playing in that wild card game, who are you sending to the mound? You got some easy quality options with the guy we've sent year after year, Walker Buehler. You got a new guy, Max Scherzer. Julio, who's always nails in these situations, and the long-running GOAT, Clayton Kershaw, should be back and built up and healthy by then. For this wild card game that we are going to play, Brooke mm-hmm. Mathry, mm-hmm. who is your game one and done starter?
Ooh-wee.
Ooh-wee.
What if this Dave got real wild with it, and he's like, bullpen game. I'm like, what the hell?
Oh, God.
Look, honestly, the way the season has gone, I'd probably kind of laugh at that a little bit. Mitch White starting, I don't know what the hell we're going to do.
No, I'd be kidding.
Look, dude, you're looking at it logically. You look at every pitcher you have. I don't know how you justify it being anybody else between Walker Buehler and Max Scherzer. I just don't think that there's a way that you can justify it. Maybe even a piggyback situation. Who knows what they're going to go with?
Who rides on whose
shoulders? However, you're looking at success. I don't know, dude. Walker's been our guy for so long. Walker has been our guy for so long. But on the to play devil's advocate, to go to the other side, Max is also undefeated with the Dodgers, and he's one of the best pitchers in baseball since joining the Dodgers. Walker, since then, has had some slip-ups. He obviously had the San Francisco slip-up. That was a big one, and I think that's tough to kind of overlook. But when you get down the stretch, if he keeps up that same kind of success, if he keeps up the same kind of success that he's had all season and gets all the way down to the wild card, it's going to match up to timing and rest, and that's all it's going to come down to. That's all it's going to be. It's who has the most rest and who's ready to go. That's all it's going to be, because it is a toss-up between those two guys. Like, Doug, if you have both guys on equal rest, who are you going with?
Look, Max Scherzer, he's been as Max Vertized, right? He's been absolutely unstoppable. I think he has a 105 ERA.
105 in seven starts.
Dodgers 7-0 in his starts. But Walker Buehler, a 2.35 career postseason ERA. Like you said, he's been our guy. Game 163 will almost feel like the wild card game in a sense, one and done. And let's say that you go with Scherzer in this case, and then he's gone after this year. Walker Buehler's like, I remember that. You guys, who you going with Scherzer in that game? But look, you really can't go wrong. But based on how Buehler looked in his last start, I thought it was really interesting. Went 19%. Fastball on his last start. You mm-hmm. saw a slight velo dip across the board. Is his arm a little fatigued? Consider how much he's carried this season. And then, I mean, you made the trade. You traded your two top prospects for Trey Turner and Max Scherzer. You got to go with the hottest pitcher in the game. That's Max Scherzer. And you got to make a business decision. One thing you said right now everything you say I take as gospel, right? Like, and when you told me that, okay, yeah, Dave Roberts is not managing 20. He's being too loyal to a fault. And that really, like, you know, as a dock defender, I'm like, you know, man, I can't accept that, because I don't want the guys to come to the Dodgers and think, okay, if I win Dave Roberts over, I can get comfortable. And I think that some of these players will get comfortable in their roles, like a Cody Bellinger. And I think that when it comes to this, you got to go with the best decision to give the Dodgers a chance to win. And to think that they would make that trade for Max Scherzer and not even get to the DS, and if you at least put him in that wild card game and he loses, you can live with that. But I don't think you can live with it if you just keep him on the shelf. And look, Butane, we know he bleeds Dodger blues, no question about it. I don't think he'll be offended. And then you can set him up for the DS. So I'm going with Scherzer.
In a wild card game, the Dodgers will be playing at home. Over his career, Walker Buehler at Dodger Stadium has been, as they like to say in the business, nails. where is it at right here? In 50 career games at Dodger Stadium is a 2.36 ERA. He won game 163 there. We saw him pitch 7 shutout innings in World Series game, game 3, the 18-inning game, or game 4, whatever the hell it was, game 3, I think. There's no wrong answer between Walker Buehler
no, you're wrong.
And Max Scherzer. I think just because he has the most experience in that situation. I feel like Dave would opt for Walker. I would probably opt for Max. That's my thing. Wasn't very exciting. Game 163. Who are you starting? My answer, Julio. I'm going Julio because game 163 would be for the division.
Start Max and bring Kershaw out of the bullpen. No, okay, that's boo. Give me the boo. Can I get the boo button?
I got you. We got you, bud. Anytime you want the boo button. David Feldman says it has to be Scherzer. I be stroking on YouTube says really miss D May. Has been nails is a new fan. Blue Magic says wrong answer. You got to be more specific. But also I agree.
Way to go, Blue Magic.
Eddie is going Max. Jim. Jim, I think he's going Walker.
You can't go wrong, guys. That's all I got to say. Craig says he's just back Cody Ninth. That's a. Jim says he has different colored eyes, and I agree. That's a good reason to
start. Ninth might be a little high for Cody right now, I'm just saying.
Justin agrees with FRG because he's a smart, smart person. Roach says bullpen game, Brule opener confirmed. legendary.
Oh, man.
Legendary.
Told you,
bullpen game. Roach. Legendary. Jose.
Jose.
next, as we dip into hour 37 here on the Blue Haven Live, but it's okay. We got our new Audio Technica headphones.
They feel good on my ears. Yeah. I'm not cramping now.
And you have a less sweaty Audio Technica headset
there?
Yeah,
this is like...
I have zero ear cramps. I know. And usually by hour one.
Yeah, dude, how our ears are always so sweaty by now.
Oh, dude.
It's a nightmare.
Man, I probably
Audio Technique,
like a
Audio Technique is a fantastic company. Yes. Want to throw that out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a
sponsor. Anyway. Guys, we're doing Throwback Thursday on a Thursday again. Our Throwback Thursday segment is sponsored by Vintage Brand. Our friends at Vintage Brand have over 10,000 unique logos of your favorite professional sports teams and colleges. They have a gift for every sports fan. There's Dodger shirts, sweaters, drinkware. Of course, again, what I was talking about. You see us using the can insulators. Doug, that's not the time you want to grab this one. They have real nice canvases. They have a whole bunch of really cool stuff. They also added some Brooklyn Dodger stuff that I don't know if it was there before. But it's there now, and it's really, really cool. Some throwback swag for your collection at VintageBrand.com. Go to VintageBrand.com/site/subscribe. You can get some real cool promotional rates sent into your inbox. They also just started a 40% off promo today using code FOOTBALL40 in honor of the football season starting, because that's a thing.
Are you ready for some football?
Yeah. Don't go Cowboys, because I hate them. Anyways, that promo is going to be running through Sunday. And we're going to give away a poster or a canvas. There it is. Look at that.
That's the crooked canvas.
Yeah, don't bang the thing, bro. Look at that.
My bad.
Watch the pretty mic, dog.
Yeah.
It's trying to show us durability.
So we're going to give away a canvas. Do we want to do this right now in the show, or do we want to have it go?
You said in the show, dude.
All right, we're going to do it in the show.
Here's your question.
So if you guys are listening on the podcast, if you guys are in the podcast, listening to the podcast side, you got to really listen and watch and participate in the live show. Guys, this is a 1975 scorecard print, 35 cents back then. Who won the most games as a pitcher? Who won the most games for the 1975 Los Angeles Dodgers? So that's your question. Drop them in the comments. If you cheat, we'll kill you.
It
with
was
kindness.
Not Julio.
It was not Julio Urias. But you know, that's it.
Are you watching it?
I guess.
Do you even know who the answer is?
But today's topic, by the way, for Throwback Thursday, we're going to throw it back all the way when the Dodgers can hit. Do you guys remember that? That was cool, huh? That was real nice.
Simpler times.
We got a couple Don Suttons in there. Sandy Koufax, which is incorrect. No. Doug Rau, close. Dave was closest so far. Clearly, Edwin is set to...
said clearly, Edwin?
Clearly, it was Edwin. Come on, look at that. Look at that. Oh, nobody's going to get it. Somebody's Googling it, though. 1975 Dodgers. John Cena. Are you sure you looked up the right stat?
Maybe I didn't.
You should probably double check, because we got a few Chad Billingsley's in there.
1975?
Yeah.
Wins leader?
Yes, sir. You ever heard of 1975 Dodgers?
Walt Alston.
No, that's not.
It's Walt Alston. We got a Andy Messersmith, which I believe is the right answer.
There it is.
I think somebody was before. Where is it? Where are you at? Oh, yeah, Xavier. But Xavier didn't give his full name. Do we want to give Xavier Castro full credit for just saying Messersmith?
That's fine, yeah.
Messer. Ooh. All right, Xavier, you won. I'm assuming you did. Xavier, send us an email. Let's probably go back to this camera. Send us an email, podcast@DodgersNation.com. A lot of people mess up the S in there. DodgersNation.com. Send us an email. We will we'll get you a canvas sent out to you. Thank you. But back to the bad offense. Dodgers scored 5 runs on Monday, like a very tired coming in from a late night game in San Francisco. Just 1 run after the first inning. They went 2-for-7 with runners in scoring position on Sunday, and bad, or not Sunday, on Tuesday. They were bad on Wednesday. They tried to come back late. Really bad today on Thursday. We've talked a lot about being worried already. I don't know. I don't really know where to go from here. It's just we're rehashing things.
We tend to do that, yeah.
It happens. I guess we're gonna focus back in on Cody. I guess this is a fun little segment we're gonna introduce right here. It's called Fixing Cody's Swing.
Uh-huh.
And
I'm very excited about this.
This guy over here, Brooke,
yeah,
will tell you we get a lot of interesting emails. So Doug, you don't know half of that. I'm sure you get DMs. I'm sure you see the comments. A lot of people know how to fix Cody Bellinger's swing. Some of them are pretty accurate, which is just do better.
Just be better at sports.
That's yeah.
be
better. But there are some really, really killer ones. One recent one. Should I say names? I'm not going to say names, but to whom it may concern, we got an email today from somebody who played a lot of baseball in the greater Long Beach area. This person was a student of the game, and Cody needs to abandon his upright swing, which makes hitting and judging the low ball difficult, which, one, Cody has always used his very high, straight-up stance. It won him a Rookie of the Year. It MVP. Won him an MVP.
Won him a World Series.
Won him a World Series. And the low ball isn't his problem. It's the high ball. They're just throwing
it's
shit
the
at his neck.
Balls.
It's the strike balls. So anyways, I the one thing I liked is I played my baseball growing up in Long Beach with a lot of successful major leaguers. Or so. Anyways, this very like well thought out, like Brooke said, somebody sat here for like 30 minutes writing this email thinking we're the Dodgers. One of the best ones that we had, one gentleman, Mark, send an email to you, Doug.
What up, Mark?
Dear Doug.
Hey.
Dearest Douglas.
Because Doug, Mark's son, shouldn't, I wasn't supposed to, Mark, I mean Mac, there it is, change the name.
Mork.
Mork, his son, plays a lot of ball in high school and college and was an avid video gamer, and he knows exactly what Cody Bellinger's problem is. He has gamer eyes. It's not the weed. It's not weed eyes. It's gamer eyes. I don't know what that is.
Did
I've
you
never
know
heard
that
of gamer
if you
eyes.
Play too many vidya games, that you are bad at life?
It's the damn kids in them video games.
I mean, Warzone boys.
It feels like so many players around the league play video games. I mean, I feel
I
like,
know.
But
and they produce.
Look, how about? But I mean, look. I think with Cody Bellinger, I mean, can we get like a bionic shoulder and rework that and see how that does? I mean, to me, it's the timing, it's the explosions, the lack of just conviction at the plate. And I know he's coming off those two big surgeries, but you just can't have elite defense and produce the way he is and justify being there. I mean, it's almost feels like watching Billy Hamilton or something like that, where it's like,
nah, he makes contact.
Yeah, he makes contact. That's true. But
he
taps
the ball on the ground.
Yeah, his swing, even when it's complicated. When he's on, you see the balance, and it just looks so disconnected. It's like how they were. It's like how
wishy-washy.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I always say, almost like a giraffe on full skates circle. That's like blindfolded, or something like that. When it's not right. I just think too, it's just rough. It's just a rough year for Cody Bellinger, and I think that the more he goes out there, I think he's almost practicing bad habits. against major league pitching.
Going back to, like you said, you're doing him a disservice right now.
Yeah.
Both mentally, just hammering in the bad habits, and you're going to get him that much further away from a complete major league swing. Craig saying, fix Cody, haircut, Bud style. We're back to the hair.
We're back to the haircut.
It's funny how I'm a believer. I think you said earlier, like, I thought that was ridiculous, and for some reason, I think that's so not ridiculous.
When did
ridiculous.
I say? I said the hair like two months ago.
But people have been bringing it up for the entire year.
Come with a Mike Tyson face tat. Like, do something different, man. I mean,
and the wax.
I mean, you know, you play. You play ball. You know that when you're in the middle of a slump, when you're in the middle of something bad, you change something, and that's all you got to do. And it suddenly feels like you're okay now.
Hey,
sometimes people lay down a bunt, get a hit. Sometimes people shake.
It just
their head.
Like it feels like you're start. You're it's so every anytime you do something, it feels like a fresh start.
It does.
And he needs a fresh start. And look, everyone was rooting for Cody Bellinger. He's one of the most popular players on the Dodgers. We wish it could click. And I think that this team has false hopes. I think Dave Roberts said, well, this is going to be the day. And I think he said it last week. Dave Roberts like, it's going to be really exciting to watch him turn around. I'm like, well, I understand the power of positive thinking and this and that. But, I mean, I don't know.
Power of positive drinking.
I mean, exactly. I mean,
damn good song.
Tim Tebow tried that and didn't work out for him. So it's like, at some point, I think if you're Cody Bellinger, you just really have to almost, I almost think, like, these guys
are. Boy was sharp in his MVP season. That hair, that fade was on point. He was letting the scruff grow a little bit, but.
Yeah, the low pants the whole season, pretty much.
Hotel California,
the
bring
hotel,
it back.
Yeah.
You know, it's the little things.
Because he's got the Drake walk-up song. And then
it's the little things. What did I? Hey, I went 2 for 4 in mine and Brooke's softball game yesterday against a very, very awkward and bad pitcher. And I told Brooke, hey, remind me about the music. There was no music playing, but I had to hear the music in my head. And all of a sudden, felt a little more rhythm. Sometimes it's just really dumb things that make you feel better.
Like shaved heads.
Like shaved heads. Or different cleats. Or a thong.
Shaved heads and made beds. That's
honestly, like if I'm honest, like, I think what we really learned about Cody Bellinger is like for his swing to work, he needs everything optimal.
Beady beady bum bum. That's what he needs to walk up to.
Yeah.
And then he could channel his inner Matt Beatty. Let's go. There it is.
Like he needs to like go to the. It's almost like you know, like when the guy goes to the coach, is like, give him my jersey. You know, let him play. Oh, he wants to say, hey Doc, let Matt Beatty play for you, man. Like, it's almost like Remember the Titans.
He wants Rudy
you know?
To play.
Yeah.
I wanted to avoid this one, but I know we've all seen a lot of the comments about his misses and his baby situation and all of that.
Yeah.
Little baby cheeses pulling a Rihanna on him, which...
A la Matt Kemp. Oh, Matt really suffered, man. But to be fair, Rihanna
statistically,
could,
he didn't suffer otherwise.
Rihanna could really ruin my life, and I'd be okay with it. Like... To be fair, I'd be 100% all right with that. Maybe Jesus, maybe not so much. I don't know.
Yeah. You're saying you'd be under her umbrella, eh?
Ella.
Oh. One of the other parts of this.
I mean, I just think Cody needs to put in that work. You know what I mean? Like, and if he does that,
he's a legend.
He'll get back on the same page. But I do think that, I mean, we could talk about Cody Bellinger all day and all night. It's just...
You know what it is? It's that damn PS2 box he's carrying off the planes, according to Mark Mack. His son noticed Cody carrying his PS2 box off the team bus once on TV and heard him mention Call of Duty. A very addictive game. It's the damn, you know, the kids and their video games. Just saying.
Hey.
There it is. And the hair. And the girlfriends.
We should move on from Cody.
I think it would be awesome. I feel kind of bad now.
Think about
like he would break the Dodgers internet if he rolled up, buzz cut. Everybody, let's go.
He'd hit
Cody's
three
back.
Three dunks,
you know?
Tonight, guaranteed. Three dunks.
Three dunks. Yeah. I.E. Doyer gets it. The PS2. The email said PS2.
Or at least get the Justin Timberlake cornrows. You know what I mean? Like mix it up, you know?
I would shave my head and walk up to, damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Yes.
There it is.
Yes.
With a remix of Hotel California.
We're going to move on from Cody because I feel real bad. I feel real bad about him as a person. Baby Coward. Jesus, I'm so sorry. Baby Bellinger.
You should have
best
a beer.
Best of luck to you. Oh,
yeah.
Best of
I
luck
know,
to
I'm
you.
Not, I don't, I'm not a subscriber
he said PS2.
To that.
Looking ahead real quick. Looking real ahead quick to this weekend. We got the Dodgers versus Padres tomorrow back at LA, which feels very good to be back, by the way. I don't know. It just feels good when you come home after you lose. It feels real good. Padres come for a 3-game series.
Feels better to come home to wins.
Time. Does feel better coming home to wins. But the Dodgers changed it up. They got Julio. They got Walker. They got Max going this weekend. It feels good. You feel good going into it. You also got Joe Musgrove, Chris Paddock, and Blake Snell. I don't know about you guys. This is Chris Paddock's first start against the Dodgers since summer of 2020, and he only pitched 3 innings against them that day. And notably, they have changed around their rotation several times for him to avoid the Dodgers. So I am very, very excited to get a shot at the sheriff this year. He is not nearly as good as they thought he was. They are learning very quickly that he is not the guy that they were hoping he would be. He is not nearly Clayton Kershaw reincarnate right-handed, as they had previously said, which I took umbrage with personally, and that is why I do not like Chris Paddock, because very early on they said that he would be Clayton Kershaw. And I recognize, hey, they only really throw him against bad teams. They're kind of setting him up pretty good in a way that you should for a young pitcher, arguably, I would say. So that's good for them. However, when your agent starts sending me your high school stats, buddy, I'm going to have a hard time accepting you as a big league pitcher. And I have been proven right by you many a time so far. So if you know what, Chris, if you do good against the Dodgers, I'll have a little bit more respect for you. I don't expect it. I think you'll get rocked. I hope you get rocked. I hate everything about you. If you'd like to fight me along with Josh Reddick,
Justin,
you can do that.
Justin says Paddock is frothing at this, which is an interesting
like
word
he's having
choice.
A seizure, so he's frothing. He's like, oh no. Like that kind of frothing.
You know? I don't know where you would be best set to troll. I'm assuming you're going to stay home and watch the game on Saturday. Oh. I would love for you to go to the game and just get kicked out.
If somebody would like to buy me a very front row ticket,
heckle hard,
I can almost promise you I'll get kicked out of that game. I can almost promise it to you.
Yeah.
That being said, Dodger security will probably reach it's out one to of us.
My, honestly, like, should wear a DLD shirt or yeah, something.
Yeah. I just want to point out that Brooke versus Chris Paddock has surpassed LeBron versus Skip Bayless.
Like, there it's is one of the no great better rivalry.
Sports media rivalry.
Oh man, that makes me Skip, huh?
Yeah, you're Skip.
Oh, son of a
you're
bitch.
The Skip who's Chris Paddock. Hey, oh, but it's man. All good, man.
You need
I got him on my fantasy
you need to work
team.
Out. Get like super just awkward old man ripped.
Old man ripped.
Yeah, yeah.
I can get there. We can do it, boys. The Padres are 21-25 in the second half of the season. They've lost 16 of the last 24. Taking all three of these games seems very pivotal in this in the pennant race.
For both teams.
You said, Doug, already that they are a very hungry team. They are fighting for their playoff chances, and they absolutely are. Do you have any series predictions on these three games? Because they're good matchups. They're really good pitching matchups, first of all, aside from Chris Paddock, who's not a real pitcher.
I just got to go out and live. I think we'll sweep them. I really do. I think at home, this seat that was the long, like Oral Hershiser likes to say, not happy flight back. I feel like this team's got to buckle down again, send a message, assume the Giants are going to just win the rest of their games, and just send a message against the Padres. The pitching matchups are favorable. You got Chris Paddock, he's got like an ERA plus of like 78 or something like that. Instead of having the revolvers, the sheriff has like butter knives. I mean, he's just not that same guy.
Cap gun.
Yeah. Exactly.
He's got the
squirt.
Wood gun.
Yeah. I think they're obviously the Padres are a dangerous team, but I think the Dodgers, like, they're comfortable at home. Go out there. They'll get up for the Padres, and the Padres will get up for them. And ooh. Look, you got Kershaw coming in Monday, hopefully. So this team needs to win. They need to win three games if they want to win this division, and I think they're going to do that. I think they're going to take care of business. Things are going to get some business like angry wins by this Dodger team. Like you said, slumps don't last forever, and I think you know Muncy's going to get to Beers. Every kiss begins with
L.
I like the Dodgers going with the sweep this week, and that to me would make up for splitting against St. Louis. And you know, you lose 2 out of 3 against San Francisco, that's never good. But
the last time these two teams matched up, I said the Dodgers
the
could
Dodgers
get
would get swept.
Could or would get
I
swept.
Said the
I
Dodgers
said 2 of 3.
I'm
even less optimistic about this series because why not?
Better pitching matchups.
Yeah, because they got all-star future Hall of Famer Chris Paddock going for
Joe Musgrove. So what is your prediction for the series?
I'm not going sweep, but I'm going to say
Dodgers lose the series 1.
No, the Dodgers win 2.
2-1.
I think they'll do a little bit better, but they're going to probably lose Friday.
I'm going to go ahead and agree with Doug here. I'm going to say the Dodgers take the sweep this series.
Homers.
And I also predict that they hang up 6 runs on Chris Paddock on Saturday. And when Chris Paddock pitches 8 shutout innings, that Padres Twitter is going to run wild with this.
Are they even around anymore?
No, they died, bro. They're rooting for the Chargers now.
You know, our one buddy, Ryan, over with Believe in Padres.
I remember him.
Yeah. We've had him. We probably should have had him on for this show, but Doug's much better.
The Padres aren't competitive right now.
He's like, they lost when they lost, Snell's no-hitter, and he's like, oh God, now we got to deal with toxic Padres Twitter. He's in like that little small bubble of new fans. Anyways, it's funny.
He knows.
Who are the Giants playing this weekend?
The Cubbies.
Oh, that's right.
So we're already talking about that. Kind of sucks, but also might work out depending on how it goes.
And I feel like if the pitching lined up where it was like Bueller, Julio, Scherzer, I feel like maybe they go 2-1, maybe lose that Saturday game.
Wait, no, they're going to win the Max game.
Yeah, you're going to win the Max game.
They're going to lose the Max Snell. Game.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, but it's Mad Max.
Snellzilla.
Snell, dude.
Mad Max.
Like, if you put Snell against the Dodgers and Max Scherzer against anybody, it's the same pitcher somehow. I don't know how that happens. But just put Will Smith in the lineup. We'll be all right.
No, you got to play.
Austin Barnes will be playing on Sunday.
I really want another lineup of I want McKinney, Beatty, or McKinney.
Billy McKinney's batting Belly. 1-9.
All of them. Just make sure you sit both.
Let's wrap this show up. I got to pee, boys.
That's your fault. Hold on. We got to give the weekly Netflix and chill update.
Oh, my God. We sucked.
No, we won.
We were good. We won.
Yeah. You got hit in the nuts.
I got hit in the nuts.
You hit yourself in the nuts, sort of?
No, the ball hit me.
Yeah. Ball to ball action.
Yeah, I went down.
Yeah, throw balls to the ball.
I went down to the floor.
Yeah, you were dead. I thought you separated your shoulder again.
I would just lay down for a second. And I was like, hey.
But the mullet?
Survived.
Good. The mullet flow is alive. While you were on the floor, like dying,
the show flow was moving.
The mullet looked good.
Yeah.
Doug, what are your takeaways from today?
Learned a lot as always. Had a great time. You guys made me do
a little shot
before. It was apple juice.
It seemed like it hit you.
I was buzzing. Right. I'm starting to come down a little bit already.
Netflix and chill balls.
But yeah, I mean, kind of. I think that my takeaway from this show is like conversations like this are going along with all Dodger fans because we are starting to get anxious at this point, and we're starting to look for either reasons why they're going to win or why they're going to lose. But at the end of the day, this offense is put up or shut up time for the bats, and we're going to see what this team's made of. I think in the next week or so, because look, you have to take care of business against your division rivals, quote unquote, in the San Diego Padres. And I think kind of my prediction for this weekend is that the Chicago Cubs will have like a sneaky good weekend against the Giants. I think they won 8 of their last 10 games. I think they will at least get a game. You're in Wrigley Field. You're going to have a solid atmosphere. I think that Chicago, I think they play better than a lot of people will think against the Giants. And I think that there is a chance to at least cut this deficit to 1.5 heading into Monday and Kershaw's start. So I still feel good as long as we start to see some life from this offense. And like I said, these lineups are just atrocious that we saw today. I mean, my eyes just hurt just still seeing that on my phone when it first came out. But today was not a good one, man. Today, just I hate the losses like this.
Well, stay tuned to Dodgers Nation all weekend long. We got Eric Ulo's new show coming out, or new episode of 3 Up 3 Down coming out Friday morning. So that's probably already out if you guys are listening to this as a podcast. Doug, you are doing post game on Friday and Sunday. Brooke and I will be back on Monday and either very mad or very happy, but definitely drinking. Until then, guys, find us on the internet at DodgersNation.com. Subscribe to the Blue Heaven Podcast. We are on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Pandora, Player FM, everywhere your podcasts are available for free. We live there. Also, while you're there on the internet, subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/DodgersNationTV. Hit that bell. You will be thrilled you did. And download the app, Dodgers Nation Fan app. Look at that. Boom. There it is.
Beautiful. Guys, I'm at BrookMe3. This guy over here is at RealFRG. That's Doug. You guys know Doug. Everybody knows Doug.
What up, guys?
Go follow Doug. We're at Dodger Nation on Twitter, at official Dodger Nation on Instagram. Huge thank you to you guys for hanging out with us and for Doug for being here. Star of the show. Face the franchise. We love you. Thank you to Jim, who says BrookMe3 rules. Me and Jim are vibing today. We're feeling each other. Go Dodgers. Chris Paddock is the worst pitcher in all of baseball. We're going to win this weekend, and we appreciate you guys. We'll see you on Monday.
Peace.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.